In the last class, we started an essay called Chochmas Ha'olam, the Wisdom of the World. In the Michtam Eliyahu, Volume 1, it's on page 66. What we said in the last class is we brought a verse from Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu says, Al Yishalel Chochem B'Chochmosei, a wise person shouldn't take pride in his wisdom. And the Rashi says over there, B'pnei She'Chochmosei Eina Ele Mekalkeles, because his wisdom only spoils things, it only makes things worse. And his comment on this was because the wise people of the world, as well as the strong people, the powerful people and the wealthy people of the world, are busy praising themselves for their culture and for their advancements, and they place crowns on their heads to celebrate the tremendous progress of people. And at the same time, together with their progress, they look down with scorn on the sages of the Torah, as if to say, what benefits do the rabbis give us? Ma'ahanu lan rabbonu. What possible benefits do we receive from the rabbis? All the progress is with us. We're the ones who are bringing goodness to the world, not them. However, when we think about what they're saying, so you'll see that all the noise they're making, all the hullabaloo they're making, right, is only to blind the eyes of those who are frivolous, those who think lightly, who think superficially, who look at the world in a superficial way. So they are blinded by secular advancement, but it's not really a true advancement. And the idea is, because just like you have wealth, the sages speak of wealth which hurts its owner, right? There's a wealth that a person accumulates which ultimately hurts him, ultimately damages him. So similarly, you have a wisdom that actually hurts the person who acquired that wisdom. That's the reality, and therefore the reason is because a person who has wealth but can't rule over his wealth, rather his wealth rules over him, so then it spoils his life for him. It actually ruins his life. It's not his wealth. So the same thing with wisdom. A person whose wisdom rules over him and makes him a slave to the wisdom, so therefore that such wisdom is not a benefit. And the way we explain that is as follows. We said that wisdom means benefit to Ellis. Wisdom means benefit. And therefore, what's the real benefit? Is that a person is able to grow spiritually from level to level, and in terms of acquiring the next world, so his wisdom helps him to get to the next world and to acquire the next world. And that's the verse in Koheles that says, Chochma techaye baleho. Wisdom gives life to the one who possesses it. Wisdom gives life to its owner. Now when is this? When is this true? When is wisdom beneficial? When does wisdom enliven us? When does wisdom empower us? That's when a person receives wisdom from Hashem, which means he's using wisdom to live the lifestyle Hashem wants him to live. He's using the wisdom in the right way to promote a Torah lifestyle. So then that such a wisdom is what advances him in this world in terms of his personal growth, his spiritual growth, and in terms of the next world, that he acquires the next world for himself. Right. On the other hand, when a person uses a wisdom just for the goodness of this world, a person just uses wisdom to make life more pleasant in this world, right? He uses the technology to make his life more luxurious and more exciting and more, but it's all for the purpose of this world. So that's called wisdom that becomes evil, because it actually destroys him. He just follows his own desires to a greater degree. He becomes more of a egoistical person. His wisdom helps him become more egotistic, more selfish, more self-centered, and further from Hashem. So all of his wisdom takes him, right, his helicopters and his mansions and his whole exotic lifestyle all draws him further and further away from Hashem, and therefore into destruction. He heads straight for destruction. The question that's been asked here is that, does that make the creature comforts of this world something that's not correct, not kosher, or something that's actually pulling us down, drawing us down? Right, isn't what Rav Dessler putting before us very extreme? And it seems to be it's all or nothing. And the answer is that in terms of intentions, in terms of your ultimate goal, it is all or nothing. In other words, basically, what's a person driving towards? So therefore, if he's driving towards a Torah lifestyle, there's no problem in him using technology, to help him get closer to Hashem. You know, as if turning on the air conditioner helps him to learn Torah better or to keep Shabbos better, so that he's using the technology, or he's using the advancements, he's using the luxury items, whatever it is that he's using the delicious food in the service of Hashem. So therefore, it's all kosher. But in terms of his ideal is an extreme ideal. He is here to get closer to Hashem. Right? He's using the luxuries, the technologies, whatever it is, whatever those amenities, those conveniences, he's using them all in the service of Hashem, and therefore it all becomes part of his service of Hashem. It could be a person who goes and buys, it's an air conditioner as an example, is doing it with the right intention, so then it's part of his service of Hashem. It's no different than let's say he goes and buys a book that's going to help him get closer to Hashem, or he goes to listen to a shiur to get him closer to Hashem. So it could be, if that's his intention, and that is the real intention, so then it's all good. However, if the intention is for the goodness of this world, he just wants to have it good in this world, so then we can even have even sometimes holy things. Sometimes a person will do a mitzvah because he wants to be part of the crowd, the in crowd, and he wants to be with his friends who are having good times. So he thinks if he does a mitzvah, then he'll win their favor. So then you're turning everything upside down. You're using Torah and mitzvahs to make this world a better world for yourself. Your whole intention is for the pleasures of this world, and the pleasures of this world becomes an end in of itself. So then you can actually spoil good things with. You can't really spoil them fully, because the mitzvah always remains a good thing. At least, even in the shell of the mitzvah, there's another essay elsewhere, Rav Dessler explains how even when we do mitzvahs with the wrong intention, still the mitzvah itself has a certain power to protect us. Even with the wrong intention, sometimes the mitzvah can still help us. But the mitzvah itself has a special value and a special protection. But really what we're talking, the two extremes are, and this is what Rav Dessler's point is, and this is the correct point, is that what's the main reason we're living our lives? What's our main goal in our life? Is it spiritual or is it material? So therefore, he could be a frum yid, but he's in competition with his neighbor who's got the nicer house and who's got the more fancy furnishing and who goes to the more exotic holiday. And it's within a frum environment. You know, he has these kosher cruises and kosher five-star hotels, etc. So, but the whole thing is geared towards this world. So then that's ruinous. That can hurt him very badly. Okay, so with that stated, we brought examples of, right, that the secular definition is totally different from the Torah definition. The secular definition of a wise man, so by them a wise man is a professor, and his wisdom becomes a source of pride. It's a source of distinction. He can use it, in other words, he can use it for just to feel good, that everyone should applaud him, and he's using his wisdom as a sort of a pedestal. He's climbing on his wisdom as a pedestal that everyone should applaud him. So therefore, while the secular world would use wisdom as a pedestal for more glory, because it's all about glory, it's all about fame, it's all about applause, the Torah definition of wisdom is that which helps you to get closer to Hashem. And we have to learn from Hashem's world. Hashem created the world with wisdom, and therefore the world is full of wisdom. And we can use the wisdom of the world to get us closer to Hashem all the time, and we always have more to advance. There's always further to go. And therefore, the Torah definition of a wise person is a person who's always willing to learn. He's always looking to learn new things. And he's prepared to learn from anyone. He's prepared to even learn from little children. If he can learn something, and then even, you know, for whatever it is, whatever he'll see, any life experience, he'll see something on the bus, or he'll see something in the street, or he'll see something in the store. And he'll see a certain wisdom in it. That's a way of behavior that I can adopt. This is something I can incorporate in my progress of getting closer to Hashem. So that's the real definition of wisdom, is a person who's willing to learn from all people. That's the Torah definition. And same thing for a powerful person. So therefore, a powerful person, the secular definition is that he's conquered countries, he's built empires, he owns conglomerates, and he's a big multimillionaire, he's a big tycoon, he's the big shot, he runs 3,000 businesses, whatever it is, right? That's their concept of power, right? Whereas the Jewish concept of power is the ability to conquer your own evil inclination, to overcome your own weaknesses, your own personal weaknesses. So that ability to fight, that makes you powerful. The ability that you have to control, to discipline yourself, to control yourself. That's the true war, and that's the true victory, if you can overcome your own personal weakness, which is built into you, right? We all have that built into us, and that's the challenge. The challenge is to stand up to our own desires and lusts, not to be weak, but to be strong. And similarly, in terms of wealth, so again, the secular definition of wealth is a person who has tremendous assets. He's got properties, and he's got lots of money, and he's a millionaire or a billionaire, whatever, trillionaire, whatever it is, a zillionaire. So therefore, he's the wealthy person of the world. Whereas the Torah definition is that wealth means that you have a realization that all that you need, you have. Right? One who's happy with his lot, you know, is the wealthy person, according to the Torah, sees that whatever he has, even though it's just the most basic requirements, but it's helping him to live his life, and it's giving him what he needs to live his life and to get closer to Hashem and to become more spiritual. So therefore, if he has that realization, wealth is just simply, the Torah definition of wealth is simply a realization that I have all that I need, and I'm thrilled with what I have. So therefore, if you have that, you can be living in a broom closet, but you have what you need to serve Hashem. So therefore, that's wealthy. You are wealthy, you have all that you need. You're not lacking anything. You lack nothing. So that's called wealthy. Okay, let's go on here. So we're on the last paragraph on page 66. And he says like this, Hayecholis bidei achochem lizkois b'chol chemdas ha'olam ul avdom. It's within the ability of a wise person to merit the desire of the world or to lose it. Now when we say the desire of the world, this is something that the whole world knows about. The whole world is moving towards what they consider the perfect goal. The perfection of life. The perfect goal. The desire, what he calls chemdas ha'olam, the desire of the world. So whatever it is, maybe for different people it's a different thing. But in general, most people recognize that if you're a happy person and you're healthy and you're surrounded with friends and you're surrounded with family and you're happy with your life and you know you love life and you know to laugh a little bit and you enjoy life and you're connected with life, right? And your life is progressing. There's growth. There's excitement. There's challenge in your life. So that's the concept of the perfect life. Chemdas ha'olam, the perfect life. The ultimate goal. So therefore, that's something anyone wants. Every single person wants. So what Rev. Dessler is telling us here, we also want that. We also want the perfect life. Maybe what we define as being the perfect life is slightly different. It's not fully different. It's slightly different from what a secular person would want as the perfect life. What is the perfect life? To be to have the perfect situation, to be living it perfectly. Chemdas ha'olam. So wisdom is a tool to get us to chemdas ha'olam, the perfect life. The ultimate desire, the person's ultimate desire. But wisdom can also be the tool that smashes us and destroys us and distances us from that completely. Wisdom can actually take a person further away from where he wants to really go. He wants to go north, and it's really his wisdom's taking him south, it's taking him the other direction. It can go from extreme to extreme. It's all about how we're using it and what we're doing with it. Hakol kafi ratzoin, and it's all based on a person's own desire. What does he want? What's he aiming for? What's he aiming for? Now, obviously, he's aiming for the perfect goal, but if he thinks that the perfect goal is having lots and lots of money, and he's wrong, because that's not going to give him the happiness he wants. It's not going to give him the self-satisfaction he wants. So his pursuit of money is working a 14-hour day or a 16-hour day, is taking him further away from his goal. Maybe he erroneously thinks, this is getting him closer to his goal, but it's actually taking him further. It's like if you ask, sometimes you ask a person a direction, so sometimes you have wild kids, and they think it's a terrific game. It's a stranger asks them, his car stops, stranger asks, tell me which way is it to Tel Aviv, and they send him on the road back to Yerushalayim. They send him the opposite direction. And the person's driving along because he thinks he got good directions, and he's going further from his goal. So that's exactly what we're saying, that a person is misled. He's not getting closer to his perfect desire, his true desire, but he's getting more distant from it. And that's a very frightening thing. So therefore, but basically, what is our guide? What is our guide? Is our own personal desire. Like what you want. Like we said this before, what you want is really who you are. You are defined by your own wants. What you want from life, what you're trying to achieve, what you're trying to get to. So that really defines you. That's your rotzen is really the true you. Chachmeinu zalhiru lanu keitzad. Now, the rabbis have here shown us how we get to chemdas ha'ulam, the perfect life, the perfect goal. When they said, and this is a midrash on Parshas Matis, and it says, Gimel matonis nivru ba'ulam. There are three gifts that we created in this world. There are three gifts. Zocha v'achas mihem. If you merit one of these three, notel chemdas kol ha'ulam. You have the desirous item of this world. If you have even one of these three, you have it properly, you have it fully. So you can, you have the desire of the world. You have the perfect goal. You can reach the perfect goal. What are the three gifts? Zocha b'chochma, zocha b'kol. If you merit wisdom, you merit it all. If you've got wisdom, you've got everything. Zocha b'gvura, zocha b'kol. If you merit might, right, strength, the ability to overcome, you get it all. Zocha ba'osha, zocha ba'kol. If you merit wealth, you've got it all. Now, there are three gifts, and you don't have to have all three of them. If you've got even one of them in a full way, you've got everything. Because it's the key to absolutely everything. And the three gifts, again, are wisdom, and strength, and wealth. But we're not finished. The Midrash says, Ei Masai, but when is that so? When is it that these three keys, these three gifts, are the key to the absolutely perfect lifestyle, the perfect life. Bizman she matonis shemaim. This is when these gifts are given to you as a gift from the heavens, right? When your wealth comes from the heavens, or your wisdom comes from the heavens, or your might comes from the heavens. Uboy mikoyach haTorah, and they come from the power of the Torah. Hainu bederech haKedusha, which is to say the way of Kedusha. In other words, that you're using them correctly. Right? In other words, that they it's all divinely inspired. Technology is also divinely inspired. The fact that they can discover a new type of machine that does X, Y, Z, right? That can do a new type of medicine that can heal such and such. All of the discoveries, all of the inventions are also from the heavens. Everything's from the heavens. But when we say it's a gift of the heavens, it means that you're using it in a heavenly way. You're using it for heavenly goals. So then, if you have even one of these things, you're hanging on to wisdom, and you're using it for Derech HaKedusha, in the holy way, you're using it to get closer to Hashem, so then that's now a key to the perfect life. And the same thing with strength, right? Discipline, strength, might, and the same thing for wealth. Right? All of these three are gifts that open up the opportunity to get to the perfect lifestyle. However, the wisdom and might and the wealth of flesh and blood, which means for the goals of flesh and blood, for the goals of this world, the person who has wisdom, he's using his wisdom to advance in the physical world, material world, or might he's using to advance in the material world, or wealth he's using to advance in the material world, einoi klum is nothing. It's worthless. It's worthless. Imagine someone has an incredible machine, but he doesn't know how to plug it in the wall, so he never uses it. So it's worthless. Could be it's a machine that costs tens of thousands of dollars, but he doesn't know how to use it. He doesn't even know how to plug it in the wall. So it's worthless. It's like not having it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Well, it's just collecting dust. He doesn't know what to do with it. Like a person has a very, very fancy computer, but he doesn't know how to use a computer. So therefore, he uses it as a coffee table. Yeah, he puts his coffee there, his cake there. You know, sometimes it falls over, the kids knock it over, and he picks it up again. It's a good coffee table, but it's nothing. In other words, you can have something marvelous, but if you're using it simply to advance in this world, it's like having zero. It's nothing. It's nothing at all. That's what the Midrash says. And here we see that there's no middle ground. In terms of what is your rationale, what is your motivation why are you using this? Here there's no middle ground. Right? Either you're using it to get closer to Hashem, or either using it to get to indulge yourself more. In other words, to gratify yourself. There's no middle ground. Here there's no middle ground in terms of what is your goal. Someone who goes along the road which the rabbis have pointed us to, he gets it all. Imagine there's a single highway. There's a single highway. It goes one way, it goes north; the other way, it goes south. And that's it. There's one highway. So there are only two options. Either you go north, or you go south. You can't get off the highway because it's just all bushes and thorns. There's nothing. You can only be going one way or the other way. So that's what we're saying. There is no middle ground. There's no other option. It's a single highway that goes either it's going upwards towards spirituality, or it's going downwards towards physicality, physical gratification, physical indulgence. It could be some people, you know, they take five steps forward and then they take five steps back, and then they take three steps forward and they take one step back, and then they take four steps forward and they take two steps back. Okay, so that's just some a person a little bit confused, but really he's either going up or he's going down. So maybe he goes up and down, up and down. Maybe sometimes, I mean, look, there is such a thing that sometimes a person goes down a little bit to gather strength. So it could be sometimes the concept of Yurida Latsuyakalia. Sometimes when a person just stumbles a little bit and he goes back a bit, and then it's just to gather strength and then to go forward a bit more. But the ladder of Yaakov, there was angels going up and angels going down. So the angels going down are angels coming from the heavens to help us to operate in this world. It's not for us to go down. They come down to from the heavens. They're up there. From the heavens, they come down to help us. Yeah. For them, that's not coming down. For them, that's their function, to come and help us. But we shouldn't be going down the ladder. We should only be going up the ladder. Sometimes you rest on the ladder, or sometimes you trip a bit and you stumble and you lose a few steps back. But your goal is to advance. Right? Your goal is never to go back and forward. That's not your goal. Maybe in reality, sometimes you go forward and sometimes you go back. Right? Sometimes you just have weaknesses and you fall back and you fall down. Sheva yipol tzadik. A tzadik falls seven times, which means a tzadik falls constantly. We're always falling. We're always making mistakes. All of us make mistakes every day. All the time. Okay, we make mistakes. That's it. That's part of the human condition. Right? You shouted at someone you weren't supposed to shout at, and you ask someone for something that you shouldn't have asked him for. We make mistakes all the time, but we have the ability to recognize our mistakes and to try and correct them. And that's our progress, and that is our growth, and that is our advancement. So that's what we're saying here. If a person is going on the road which the rabbis point us to, he can merit it all. He can merit all because he's going to the perfect destination. Or if not, he's going the other way, he's losing it all. He can end up with zero. He's losing it all. He's losing everything. But that's also from that midrash. And a last quote he brings here from the midrash: "Matonis Eilu B'Zmancha Ein Boim Hakadosh Baruch Hu." And then the midrash adds there that these gifts, the three gifts we spoke about—wisdom, wealth, and might—when they don't come from Hashem, meaning they're not used for the type of lifestyle Hashem wants us to live, ultimately they will disappear. When you're using it for using these gifts with the wrong intentions, ultimately they will, one day they'll just disappear. The gifts will disappear. One day, or the person will disappear, and then there'll be nothing left. Right. Okay, so ultimately they disappear. In other words, if you are using it for material advancements, ultimately they will just one day just stop, cease. V'nevdu min ha'olam laman, they destroyed from the world. Why? Shelo haya matnos ha'kodesh Baruch Hu ela choitfan oisan lehem. Right, and that is because when a person uses these gifts not in the right way, so it's considered as if he snatched them, he's not entitled to them, they're not his, they weren't given to you for that purpose, and therefore they're taken away from you. We could use the analogy, let's say a person has a certain job, and part of his job, they give him a telephone, and he uses the telephone just for personal calls, and all day he's on the phone for his own personal calls, and the boss catches him and says, "Right, we're taking away your telephone. Obviously, you're not using it in the right way. This is not what we gave it to you, so we're taking it away." Right? Whether he gets a company car. Company car is ordered to do business for the company, to work for the company. He's using it for his own pleasure trips, his own joy rides. So therefore they say, "Is that what you're using the car for?" So that's not what we gave it to you for, so you're using it, you've snatched it, it's a type of theft. You're stealing from the company, we're taking it away from you. So the same thing, all the gifts Hashem gives us to advance in our lives, the wisdom He gives us, and the wealth He gives us, and the strength He gives us, is given to us to serve Him. And we're not using it, we're using it just to serve ourselves. So ultimately, He gives us a chance, He gives us a few years to try and correct our ways. But ultimately, if we're misusing, we're abusing, and ultimately it's taken away. Because that's not what it was given for. So therefore, it's not yours. It's you're not entitled to it. Hamuvan mizeh, shebrechishes ha-chochma ha-gvura wa-oishe, which is to say that one who does acquire wisdom, or who has acquired might, or has acquired wealth, or it lo yirachashes chemdas olam, he has not yet reached the desire of the world. Now, these are things that are just means, they're not an ending of this. Wisdom is not an end in and of itself. And wisdom is a tool that helps you to reach the end, which is we call the desire of the world, chemdas olam, the perfect goal. So wisdom is a tool, might is a tool, wealth is a tool. Wealth is something that can help you advance and to reach the desire of the world. Im rotzen reiv chochme olam, gibbei vashira hu rechishes achemdas olam. And while it's true that the secular world also desires these items, they're also looking for wisdom, they're also looking for wealth and for might, and they're accumulating it at a tremendous pace. However, if they're doing it simply for this world, so therefore ultimately ultimately they're going to be disappointed. They just don't reach their goals with it. They're using it in the wrong way, they're using it for what they think is going to give them happiness, but ultimately it's just going to be a disappointment. They're not going to reach what they wanted to reach. They accumulate huge wisdom or huge wealth, and they're traveling along, and they're gathering it up, and it's right, but they're going in the wrong way. Instead of going north, they're going south. They're going in the wrong direction. Ultimately, they're going to hit a wall, and ultimately it'll be taken from them, and ultimately they'll be left with nothing. Mipnei soif yomeim hem nishroim biyadayim reikus, at the end of their days, so they're left with nothing. Right, they invested only in this world, and ultimately, just like everyone else, they die from this world, and this world is gone from them, and that's all they invested in. So they invested in this world, and there is no world. This world ends for them, because they're stuck in a hole in the ground, and that's the end of this world for them. There is no more this world. And they've never worked for the other world, and this world has now disappeared. So ultimately, it's just a very big disappointment. Could be they worked very hard, but it's just a big disappointment. And not only will they be disappointed by the wealth and the wisdom they accumulated, but ultimately these things themselves can harm them. Because if we say that these are tools to help you advance, so if you're using it in a negative way, they're helping you to get to your end faster. So therefore, if they're using these tools, wisdom, they're using wisdom for material gain, and wisdom's making them travel faster, so they reach the end faster, they reach the grave faster, right? They reach self-destruction faster. So therefore, in fact, not only it's helped them go faster in the wrong direction, it's them going in the wrong direction at a slow pace. They're going in the wrong direction at an accelerated pace. They're getting there further, so therefore it's actually harming them and hurting them. L'katze es chayev, to shorten his life, la'aviru min ha'olam shekacha amal alav, and to make him lose. He loses out on the entire world that he worked so hard for. He loses it all. Achein en kayamim. Now the wealth remains. This guy's in the grave. He's down 6 feet under the ground. The wealth is still here. Right, the wealth he accumulated, he built houses, he built factories, he built buildings. There they're standing, you know. Oh, you've got these buildings, some buildings are standing a couple of thousand years. Wow, look at this building. But the person who built it, right, the buildings are standing, the wealth is accumulated, the wisdom. The person accumulated wisdom, and he wrote the books, and he set out the technologies, and they've got the companies. He's gone, he can't get any benefit from it. Right? It's true that they're here. What they've accumulated is here, the technology is here, the wealth is here. Oisim masha oisim, and does what it does. Sharigam l'rayesh koyach godol v'briyah kiyudur, because the force of evil also is a great force in this world. So therefore there is Hashem has, you see, there are two basic countries warring it out. The two countries are the country of of tahara, of purity, and the country of tuma, of contamination. Right? There is a force, the force of evil, which has its own workings, has its own government, has its own ministers, ministries, and its own officials who are trying to promote. The Yetzirah works very, very tirelessly, and he's promoting physicality and material gain, that everyone should climb onto his train, and everyone should join his gang. They should all vote for him, right? Yetzirah for president, right? So therefore, so he says, and he gives one, makes wonderful speeches and wonderful promises. If you join my lifestyle, you'll have it all. That's his ticket. That's what he promises everyone. And it's very enticing. Immediate gratification, immediate reward, right? You get, you know, like these scratch cards. You buy the card, you scratch. Oh, you already got something. You've already got a prize. Okay, you already got a prize. Instantaneous rewards, instantaneous gratification. So therefore, it's a force. The evil, there's a force in the world which is called evil, and therefore that which is built with evil purposes stands. It stands, right? The advancements are here. Oh, even after the advances have gone, the advancements are still here. I will borrow shekol ha-chochma. Vura v'oisha sheyesh l'odam, v'hu lo yodea makir, ki eilu matonis hei miach es ha-kodesh bohu. Right? But in terms of the person, the wisdom and the strength and the wealth of the individual, and that he's not using them in the right way, he's not recognizing that these are gifts to help, gifts from Hashem, to help him get closer to Hashem, he won't recognize that. Lefiv hem tzichas lishama, and he doesn't realize that these gifts are only that he could obey Hashem better, and he could progress better. Lekayim es ritzoyna, to fulfill the will of Hashem. Elochoytzon b'shvil milui ritzoyna taivos. So rather, he's using these gifts just for self-indulgence, just for himself. Harem moisram adidei zelidei hara muchlat. They're just handing him over. They're just delivering him into total evil, absolute evil. Matoytzos hem bruruis, and the results are clear. And therefore he says, why are people so surprised when sorrows fall on them? All sorts of troubles, all sorts of problems. Right? Everything was going so wonderful. I was doing such wonderful progress, and my business was flourishing. And suddenly, oy vavoy, what happened? The economy fell, and there's a war, and there's a famine, and there's a drought, and there's disease, and there's a tsunami, whatever it is, right? All suddenly, and the people are so surprised when sudden sorrows fall on them, troubles fall on them. Kilion boil in oishes kula. Suddenly they see desolation, they see destruction, they see. That see things are falling apart. Milchomas doichis, or you have wars, you have a sudden situation of war where people are being pushed, they're being pressed. Right? You have, let's say, you have a secular Jew in Poland of the 1930s building up his business. He's got a beautiful home, he's got beautiful silver in his house, silverware, and suddenly the Germans, the Nazis, march into town. And that's it, and he's on the run. And his house he leaves behind, and all his silverware he leaves behind, and his bank accounts he leaves behind, and his identity he leaves behind. And he has to just pretend not to be who he is, because they were looking for him, they want to destroy him. So therefore, he had it all. He was on the up and up. He was climbing the ladder. Everything was going great. Everything was going rosy. And suddenly, what happened? It's all stripped away from him in a second. And what happened? Why did it happen? Why did I suddenly... Why do we suddenly have such calamities, wars and poverty and all sorts of disease, etc.? Milchomas doikus achas es raglecha v'yata. Bo'usha eina se pizgama maisa ra mehera. Now certainly, this is a verse from Kohelis which says, certainly decrees of evil do not happen overnight. There's a build-up. Right? There's an expression in English of the last straw on the camel's back. So that's a very good expression, because it means that if you're overloading a camel, so the camel will bear it in silence for a while. And let's say you're allowed to put 30 pounds on a camel. That's probably more than. Let's say you're allowed to put 300 pounds on a camel. Okay, so you went and put now 350. So the camel's okay. You put 400. Camel's okay. 450. Okay, he's grimacing a little bit. He doesn't look too happy, but he's okay. And then you went and put one more straw, one more gram, and suddenly the whole camel collapses. Right. So therefore, certainly, we suddenly see the collapse, and we say, what happened? How come everything suddenly collapsed? It wasn't first. Number one, it's not sudden. Right? The Nazis marching into Poland was not sudden. It looked like it was sudden because everyone was schlafing. No one was looking in the right direction. No one was looking what's happening in the world. No one was conscious of what they're really supposed to be doing. Right? He was just looking towards his own good life. He was just focused on his own good life. He didn't notice what's going on around him. Right? In Moshe Shon, and we have to realize that my Hashem ain meus b'shonim chashuvus lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'lo klum, and hundreds of years are nothing to Hashem. You know, He's got His Hashem has His plan for the world. Right? The world is supposed to reach a certain climax, certain perfection, which Hashem is working towards, and He wants us to get there slowly. And it is a process. Why doesn't He do it suddenly? Why doesn't He just sudden Mashiach suddenly? Because that's not the plan. The plan is it's got to come from us. We've got to want it. And what's the problem? What's the problem? Why is Hashem not yet bringing the Mashiach yet? We don't want it enough. It's not important enough for us. So therefore, we have to want it. We have to ask for it. And that's the way it's going to work. It's going to work that we will ask for it, that we will want it, and we'll desire it, and then Hashem can give it to us. He can't give it to us. He's not going to force feed. He's not going to force feed Mashiach, right? You know, oi Mashiach, oi ve, I hope he doesn't come too soon. You know, there are people, you know. Right? There's the lady who asked the rabbi, if Mashiach comes, well, will we have to move to Israel? Will we, you know? So therefore, maybe not all of us have to go to Israel, whatever it is, but it can't happen that way. You know, Hashem has a plan, and we are participants, and He's helping it along, and therefore, these calamities and these disasters are all part of helping us get to the right place and to start seeking the right things and getting our head straight. Really, that's it's all about. It's all about having a straight head. It's all about having, you know, having the right desires, having the right set of desires, having the right hashkafa, the right outlook in life. That's what it's about. And He's working towards training us as a nation to want what we need to want, to ask for what we need to ask for. And He works, He has this process of work, and sometimes some processes take hundreds of years, exactly what it's like. It's a lengthy process. It's not a big deal for Hashem. Hundreds of years is nothing for Hashem. There is a great intention, right? And even it's a long path, there is a long path to finally reach the ultimate goal of this world. There is an ultimate goal in this world. Ultimately Hashem will be king of the entire world, and there's a process by which we're reaching that, and maybe it's a long process, maybe it's hundreds of years or even thousands of years, but He's in charge. He does things as, you know, He's totally in charge. He does exactly what He wants. No one tells Him, no one can tell Hashem how to run His world, and therefore eventually it will reach what it's supposed to reach. And at the same time, the evil that runs through this world does what it can to try and turn a person away. There's the force of contamination, the force of evil, which is pulling us in the other way. And that's really part of it, you see, because we have to be resisting that force. We have to be pulled, and then we have to be resisting the pull. There is a pull towards material living, and we have to be people resisting that pull and striving, right? Because we have to be fighting for Hashem. We have to be fighting for Hashem. So we can only be fighting for Hashem if someone's pulling us the other way. And if nothing's pulling you, so then there's nothing to stop you. If you throw a ball in space, and there's no force of gravity, so that ball that you threw can travel for thousands of miles, millions of miles. There's nothing to stop it. So that's obviously not a victory. You say, wow, look how strong I am. I threw a ball for a million miles. Yeah? Can you imagine what a strong... That's not strong. There was nothing opposing you. So there is a force of evil which is working against us in this world, which we have to be... which is trying to win us, and we're trying... we have to try and resist it. But if we followed our Latoitzis and Brewers, but still, it's all worked out. It's all planned. And the conclusions are certain. If a person does follow the forces of evil, if he does follow the Eitzar, if he does just live life simply for the goodness of this world, he ends up with nothing. There is a depth with no out, there's no end. The person who falls into the depths of evil, the depths of death. Death itself is a type of death, ultimately is the goal of evil. Histapkus ve'efes anur, he can get to a tremendous annihilation. Annihilation is the word annihilation, to annihilate to nothing, to reduce to nothingness. Right? So therefore a person can get caught up in that nothingness. And maybe today Mashir Inu Beneinu Anu, which we've seen people being on the top, on the heights of the heights, and then there's tremendous destruction and tremendous falling. And it's all part of Hashem's plan, and it's all has to be. A person who subscribes to evil does have to ultimately fail. Ultimately, he must fail. Maybe not immediately, but ultimately he must fail, unless he does tshuva, obviously. And that's just part of the world plan. And for those who can understand the message and who can start adjusting their lives, as is correct, and we all need to be constantly adjusting our lives. Because we all have a long way to go.
Right.
So therefore, those who will adjust their lives and will be working towards improving themselves and directing themselves, directing their thoughts and directing their lives, directing their intentions in the right path, so ultimately they will merit all of the goodness and the ideal desire, the perfect goal that Hashem has set up for us as a nation and also as individuals.